Genesis 39, Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Well, Joseph was sold into Egypt and Potiphar buys him, and he was an officer or a eunuch of Pharaoh's, the captain of the guard. Now, presumably then, he was made a eunuch when he was promoted to this senior position. And what did that mean for his wife? Well, this woman was sexually frustrated, right? And she had all the wealth and everything that went with his position, but she was sexually frustrated. And so she tries to get Joseph to sleep with her, and he runs away from her. And when we read in the New Testament, flee fornication, flee youthful lusts, I think that this is taking a snapshot of Joseph fleeing from her and saying, that's the way. He's our pattern. And indeed, this world is full of sexual temptation, and Joseph really is set up here, I think, really as our pattern that's, as it were, snapshotted and presented to us in the New Testament. And I mention her sexual frustration because when you read other sort of stories and literature, etc., from ancient civilizations, it's all myth, it's all clearly storytelling. Biblical history is fact, and it has its own internal credibility to it. The casting of the characters here, as it were, is absolutely psychologically credible. It really is. And you know, there really was Joseph, and there really was a Potiphar, and he really did have a wife who was like this, etc. And when you go on and read what she says to the men in the house and how she repeats it word for word to Potiphar, that also has the absolute ring of psychological credibility for someone who's made up a story, repeating the story, using the same words to different people, not putting it from different perspectives, but just repeating exactly word for word a prepared statement. And then we read that Potiphar was angry. But the Bible invites us to engage with it, and therefore there are some questions that are left open. Just to get us thinking. And the question is, well, whom was he angry with? It just says his wrath was kindled when she told him this. Because a woman who did something like that, it probably wasn't the first time, and he probably knew her. And he guessed what she had done. And I think that's why he doesn't kill Joseph. Because normally in a situation like that, well, that was the death sentence. Okay, he's put in prison, but in the ancient world, prison was not used in the way it's used in most countries today. It was really a holding place, holding people until their judgment, and that was it. And then you're either set free or death penalty, and you see that with the butler and the baker. But the fact that Joseph was in there for some time, it seems probably for some years, indicates, I think, that Potiphar was looking after him. And although he had to be seen to act in response to what his wife had said, and she was railroading him, really, he makes sure that Joseph is not given the death penalty. And you could argue that, in fact, the captain of the guard, who Potiphar was, is the same as the keeper of the prison. Now, in that case, then it's one of the same people. Whether that's true or not, that's just my little fantasy. But you see how Joseph's life goes in a pattern, that he's made the firstborn, I think, by being given the coat of many colours, and that coat, I think, represented his priestly function. So he's given responsibility over his brothers when he's really quite young. Then he's sold into Egypt. He's given responsibility over all Potiphar's household, which would have been significant. Then he's given responsibility over the prison. And again, you know, the narrative repeats that everything was blessed. And that's to prepare him for being given responsibility over all Egypt. And so you see how God works. Although, as we live through life, day upon day can seem just a string of fairly random events, it isn't at all. God is in control. It's like Moses in his 40 years in the wilderness, looking after sheep. He was being prepared to lead Israel as a shepherd through that same wilderness, also for 40 years. So at the time, when he was stuck in there, out there in the desert, year in, year out, it must have seemed a pointless existence, but he was being prepared for something greater. And that is what's going on in our lives. And even if the something greater that doesn't happen in this life, that's okay, because clearly we are being prepared now for the work that we shall eternally do. And so God has, if you like, a fairly limited, short, shall I say, window of opportunity to work with us, to prepare us for the work we are to do forever and ever. And now is the time he's preparing us. Just as he gave Moses 40 years in the wilderness, leading sheep, so that he could lead Israel for 40 years in the desert. And so it was with Joseph. He was given authority over his brothers, then over Pharaoh's, over Potiphar's house, and then over the prison, to prepare him to take on responsibility for all Egypt. And there are these themes that run through our lives. You can see a very clear one with the one of garments. He's given this coat of many colours, which was the sign, I suggest, of being the priest of the family and possibly the firstborn after Reuben was dismissed. And it's because of that that he ends up being thrown into the pit and sold into Egypt. And he loses it. He then gets another garment when he becomes the leader of Potiphar's house, as the senior servant, the house manager, and Potiphar's wife grabs that. And, of course, he loses that as well. And I think this was to prepare him for when he's lifted up to glory by Pharaoh and he's given the linen garment. That shows that he is the most powerful person after Pharaoh in the whole of Egypt. In fact, in the world, effectively. Egypt was probably the most advanced civilization at that time on the planet. And yet he would have taken that garment and thought, I've just about had enough with significant clothes. I lost the last two that I had. They got me into no end of trouble. I wonder how long this is going to last for. He would have not at all been proud. And yet if he hadn't have had those humbling experiences to just suddenly be given all that power in Egypt and dressed up in a fine linen garment that shows he's the most powerful person after Pharaoh. No, it would have gone to his head. But God had humbled him. And this is what God does with us. Now, of course, we can not stay in with the program and get bitter and cranky. And so the whole process doesn't work as intended. It misfunctions. And there is dysfunction. But if we respond as God intends, we are being humbled under the mighty hand of God that we might be exalted in due time. And you see this with Joseph, and this is exactly in essence how God is seeking to work with us today.